The Nectar of Instruction, Text 2. Ati Ahara, overeating or too much collecting. Prayasa, over-endeavoring. Prajalpa, idle talking. Niyama, rules and regulations. Agraha, too much attachment to, or agraha, too much neglect of. Jana Sangha, association with worldly-minded persons. Cha, and Lolyam, ardent longing or greed. Sadbi, by these six, bhakti, vinashiti, is destroyed. So we had discussed ati ahara and prayasa and prajalpa. And what is the worst kind of prajalpa? Yes, sadhu ninda. And in order to detect sadhu ninda, we have to know what is a sadhu. So who can answer what is a sadhu? Yes. In every Sanskrit definition, there are primary characteristics and secondary characteristics. The primary characteristic is called swarup lakshana. It is intrinsic. It is always present. And the secondary characteristics are called tatastha lakshana. They are sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. So, in the 26 qualities of a devotee, the quality Krishnaika Sharanam, surrendered unto Krishna, is the Swarup Lakshana. And the other 25 characteristics are Tatastha Lakshana. Now, one can criticize a devotee on various grounds. His low birth, his past sinful activities before he surrendered to Krishna, traces of sin after surrendering to Krishna, and accidental fall downs. But none of these are actually grounds for criticizing a devotee. And if one criticizes a devotee for any of these reasons, he is involved in sadhu ninda. And Lord Krishna himself gives the evidence. Who can think of the evidence from Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Api chat sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyavan. Sadur eva samantavya. That even if one engages in the most abominable activity, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is considered a sadhu. And one should not deride him. In fact, if one does so, he is going against the direct order of Krishna. And Krishna takes more offense when we offend a devotee than when we offend Krishna directly. Just like when we're walking barefoot on parikrama in the scorching heat, we don't feel the heat on the head so much, but we feel the heat on the feet. So similarly, Krishna doesn't feel so much pain when he's blasphemed. But when his devotees who have surrendered unto his feet are blasphemed, he feels so much pain. Sometimes the devotee himself will not take offense, especially if the devotee is advance, he may not take offense. But still, the offender gets the result. It is said that even if the devotee doesn't take offense, the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee delivers the reaction to the offender. And Srila Prabhupada comments that the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee will act differently on different people. Those who serve the dust and worship the dust are benefited by the dust to go up in devotional service. And those who blaspheme the dust or offend the dust are pushed down into further offenses and miseries. So, how the dust of the feet of the devotee acts upon us depends on us. Whether we're favorably serving the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee or whether we are offending it. Of course, if one does offend a devotee, he should go to the devotee, fall at his feet, and beg for his mercy. Then one can be relieved from the offense. But if someone thinks that I'm chanting the holy name, and just by chanting the holy name I can be free from the reaction, he becomes further entangled in offense. He becomes entangled in the offense, committing sin on the strength of chanting. That he thinks because I'm chanting Hare Krishna, I can do nonsense, and the chanting will nullify the effect. Because it's easy to chant, it's not easy to humble oneself at the feet of a Vaishnava, especially if one has offended the Vaishnava. So if one is reluctant to humble oneself at the feet of the Vaishnava and thinks rather that he will take shelter of the holy name and be saved, he becomes further implicated. So we should not hesitate if we realize that we've committed an offense at the feet of a Vaishnava to admit to ourselves first and then to that Vaishnava that we have committed offense and ask to be forgiven. Niyamagraha. Niyam means rules and regulations. Agraha means to be too attached. And agraha means to be too neglectful. In other words, to follow the rules and regulations fanatically without understanding the purpose is niyama agraha. And to neglect the rules and regulations and act whimsically or independently is niyama agraha. And both agraha and agraha, when joined with niyama, becomes niyama agraha. And both destroy bhakti. Following the rules and regulations without understanding the purpose. What is the purpose? We are engaged in sadhana bhakti. What is the purpose of sadhana bhakti? Yes. The definition of sadhana bhakti itself states the purpose. Sadhana bhakti are practices by which bhava bhakti is aroused. So bhava bhakti means love of Krishna, preliminary stage of love of Krishna. So if we engage in sadhana bhakti without understanding the purpose, then we can become implicated in niyamagraha. That just following the rules and regulations. For example, the scripture states that one should not accept worship in front of the deity. But Srila Prabhupada accepted worship in front of the deities. And every day we offer worship to Srila Prabhupada in front of the deities, even now. So one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that according to the rules and regulations, one shouldn't accept worship in front of the deities. But you do. Can you explain? And Srila Prabhupada replied that the purpose of all that we are doing is to develop love for Krishna. And developing love for Krishna is more important than following some rules and regulations. In other words, he thought that the Guru Puja would help us to develop love for Krishna more than observing the regulation not to worship in front of the deity. And once when Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, before we had opened the temple, Srila Prabhupada was staying in a life member's house. And he was traveling with his deities. So one devotee named Guru Das began to praise another devotee named Dinanath to Srila Prabhupada in front of Prabhupada's deities. And then the devotee stopped himself and he said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, we're not supposed to praise anyone in front of the deity, according to the nectar of devotion. So I've committed an offense, so please forgive me." And Srila Prabhupada replied that Krishna is already glorified, but when he hears his devotee being glorified, he becomes more pleased. Of course, we shouldn't, you know, praise a mundane person in front of the deity, or flatter a mundane person in front of the deity. But if the deity hears us glorifying his devotee, then he'll be more pleased. So we have to understand the ultimate goal of everything, which is to please Krishna and develop love for Krishna. And if we know what pleases Krishna, then we'll know how to adjust different priorities in Krishna's service. Like Arjuna also had so many reasons on the basis of scripture not to fight. But actually Krishna wanted him to fight. And then he realized the highest principle is Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam saranam vraja. Give up all other duties, all other regulations, all other considerations, and just surrender to Krishna. But we have to be careful also not to neglect the rules and regulations. And therefore, niyama agraha means to neglect the rules and regulations, and that also destroys bhakti. Of course, we can understand how by breaking the regulative principles we can suffer. We can spoil our devotional service. But to come back to the point of on what grounds we can violate a lesser rule. We can take one incident from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had one servant named Govinda. So one day after taking prasad, Lord Chaitanya lay down by the doorway and was resting there. And generally after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took prasad, Govinda would massage his lotus feet. So Govinda crossed over the Lord's body and entered the room and massaged the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After some time, Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness and he saw Govinda. And he saw that it was very late. He said, Govinda, it's so late, have you taken prasad? So Govinda said, no, my lord, I've not taken prasad because you're lying on the doorway. How could I cross over your body? How could I step over your body? And Lord Chaitanya asked, but then how did you get in the room? He said, well, I had to cross over your body. But that was for your service. For your service, I could do it. If I was to do it just so I could eat, it would be for my sense gratification. And for my sense gratification, I can't do it. So in observing the rules and regulations, we should be careful that if we have to cross over some lesser rule, it's only for the sake of Krishna's service and Krishna's pleasure, not for our sense gratification or because of our laziness. For our sense gratification, we should not transgress any rule or regulation. But for a higher cause, for Krishna's service, we may, under certain circumstances. There are other considerations when we preach that because our goal is to engage people in Krishna's service, we may have to relax some regulation sometimes for the sake of engaging the people. Or as Srila Prabhupada sometimes said, we have to take risk when we preach. So I remember one house program we had in New Delhi. One very pious lady, very aristocratic lady, was very instrumental in arranging the first Delhi Pandal at Connaught Place. And after the Pandal, she invited Srila Prabhupada to her home for a small program and prasad, and she invited many important people as guests. So somehow, she put onions in one of the vegetables. And so she had arranged tables, and Srila Prabhupada was sitting. There were too many devotees to feed in one room, so in about three different rooms the devotees were taking, and in one of the rooms Srila Prabhupada was taking. And he started to take the preparation with the onions. So one of the disciples said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, that sabji has onions in it, you can't take that. So Srila Prabhupada said, no, there are no onions in this subject. And the disciple said, no, no, Srila Prabhupada, see right here, there's onions in it. He said, no, there are no onions in this subject. Because he calculated that the whole purpose of coming, which was to encourage the lady in Krishna consciousness, could be marred if he didn't take the preparation, and she would get upset and flustered, and everyone would get upset, and the purpose would be upset. But then again, there's also another consideration that we're not Srila Prabhupada. So we can't do everything that Srila Prabhupada did, and Srila Prabhupada himself said that he could do things that we can't do. so we also shouldn't imitate. But, you know, very carefully and very deliberately we should understand Srila Prabhupada's instructions and example and try to follow in the best way we can according to our own position in Krishna consciousness. But one basic principle that we should never break, basically, is to chant Hare Krishna. In fact, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says that of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's instruction to chant 16 rounds every day, or to chant a fixed number of rounds every day, is most essential. And again, when we were traveling with Srila Prabhupada in India, in Gorakhpur, one Westerner joined us. He traveled with us for some time. He became a devotee. But he asked Srila Prabhupada the question that if all service is absolute, why do we have to chant 16 rounds? Because all service is absolute. So Srila Prabhupada explained, but the boy wasn't satisfied. And he kept insisting, you know, why do we have to chant 16 rounds if all service is absolute? Finally, Srila Prabhupada replied, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants you to chant 16 rounds. He said, if you want to eat and sleep the rest of the day, I give you my blessings, special blessings, but you must chant 16 rounds. In other words, we shouldn't think that we have so much important service that we can't chant 16 rounds. Even if we do nothing but eat and sleep all day and chant 16 rounds, that would be better in general. Of course, that was a special blessing for that particular devotee. That's not for us. Niyamagraha means also that we shouldn't be fixed in one position in devotional service, thinking that this is it. We should always be progressing. Like we put down one foot solidly, then we take the next step. We put that foot down, and we take the next step. We should always be going forward. If we remain stuck in one position, just going through the motions of devotional service, it's niyamagraha, following the rules and regulations without understanding the purpose, without making advancement. So we shouldn't be like that, determined not to make advancement, just to stay on one level. Then, jana sangha. There was one political party in India, Jan Sangha, Association of Ordinary People, but we don't want to associate with ordinary people. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, Asat Sang Tyaga Evaishnav Achar, Stri Sanghi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhakta Ar. That one should avoid the association of ordinary people. And who are ordinary people? Stri Sanghi, those who are attached to women and sense gratification. And Krishna Bhakta, A-Bhakta, not Bhakta. Those who are non-devotees. So we should avoid intimate association with both categories. Those who are materially inclined to women and sense gratification, and those who are not devotees of Krishna at all. And who are the non-devotees? Well, generally speaking, we could say karmis, jnanis and yogis. And according to the analysis of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, given by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, they are all atyaharis. Atyaharis means who collect too much. So the idea of collecting too much can also exist on the subtle platform. It exists on the gross platform with karmis, because they want more and more material facilities. But it also exists on the subtle platform with jnanis, who want more and more speculative knowledge, and with yogis, who want more and more mystic powers. So they are all atyaharis. They're collecting more than they should. So we should not associate with them intimately. Because if we associate with them intimately, we may come to desire what they want, which is bhukti, mukti, and siddhi. In fact, Lord Chaitanya says in another place, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, sakala, ashanta. Krishna bhakta nishkam, ata eva shanta. That the karmis desire bhukti, material enjoyment. The jnanis desire mukti, impersonal liberation. And the yogis desire siddhi, mystic perfections. But because they all have selfish desires, none of them is peaceful. Only a devotee of Krishna has no desires, nishkam. Krishna bhakta nishkam ata eva shanta. And therefore he is peaceful. So any type of selfish desire causes disturbance, either for bhukti, mukti, or siddhis. So, lolyam, that means intense longing, lolyam arises from janasangha, from associating with non-devotees. If we associate with non-devotees who want bhukti, mukti, and siddhi, we can also come to desire the same things. And we may think that in order to get those things, we have to do some fruitive activity or some mental speculation or some yoga practice. And then our devotional service becomes interrupted because we're mixing other things. Sometimes doing bhakti, sometimes karma, sometimes jnana, sometimes yoga, sometimes bhakti. And thus the devotee becomes like a prostitute. Sometimes going here, sometimes going there, not faithful to devotional service. So, janasangha and lolyam, and atyahara, because they're atyaharis, they're all interrelated. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given further definitions, specifically in relation to the verse asatsang tyaga e vaishnavachar. Stri Sangi. He says there are two categories of Stri Sangi. Those who associate with women outside of marriage, and those who associate with women even inside of marriage but outside of the regulative principles. And Srila Prabhupada has already discussed this in relation to tolerating the urge of the genitor. That even within marriage, one should follow certain regulative principles and associate husband and wife only for the purpose of producing children to be raised in Krishna consciousness. So Stri Sangi Eka Sadhu, that is one type of asadhu, not sadhu. And Krishna Bhakta are one who's not a devotee. And here Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives three definitions of non-devotees. There are those who are mayavadis. They They are most offensive. They're most offensive. Then there are Dharma Dvajis. They are pretenders. They're not really devotees, but they dress as devotees to get some facility to solve economic problems or whatever. And
So
the atheists, the materialists, the impersonalists, and the pretenders, they're all non-devotees. And one should avoid associating with them, because if he associates with them, he will be inclined to sadhu-ninda, because they're not devotees, so they won't appreciate devotees. And they may criticize devotees, especially devotees preach strongly. Anyabhilasita sanyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulena krishnanushilanam bhakti uttama. One should engage in pure devotional service without karma or jnana or yoga or any other process. So if a karmi hears this, or a jnani hears this, or a yogi hears this, he won't like it. And he'll criticize the devotees. So if we associate with non-devotees, then we're bound to hear them criticize devotees. And then we become involved in prajalpa, the worst type of prajalpa, which is sadhu-ninda. And if, on the other hand, as he pointed out, if we criticize non-devotees, and for criticizing non-devotees, we are criticized for criticizing, then we should not associate with such persons who criticize us for criticizing non-devotees. Like when Srila Prabhupada was in Indore, he was criticizing. Even Srila Prabhupada said about his own spiritual master that when he first met him, he thought, what is this man? All he does is criticize. From morning to night, all he does is criticize. Then Srila Prabhupada commented that later he realized that he was right, that his Guru Maharaj was right to criticize. So, in Indore, Srila Prabhupada was criticizing, and he was criticizing some popular Hindu religious leaders who ordinary people consider to be devotees. So they thought Prabhupada was criticizing a devotee, which he wasn't. So they criticized Prabhupada. And they gave the argument that pandita samadarshana, that a wise man sees everyone equally. So you should see everyone equally, you should not criticize anyone. The whole verse? Who knows the whole verse? Pandita Samadarshana. Yes? Yes. Do you know the translation? That one should see equally a gentle and learned Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, or a dog eater. Pandita Samadarshana, one who is learned, he will see them all equally. So Srila Prabhupada said, why is someone born as a Brahmin and someone born as a dog eater, or someone born as a dog? It is because of his pious and sinful activities. So to see everyone equally means not to see any distinction between pious activity and sinful activity. That means Uttama Mahabhagavata, he doesn't distinguish. He sees that everyone is serving Krishna, so he doesn't distinguish between pious activities and sinful activities. Consequently, he doesn't distinguish between a Brahmin, someone who's taken birth as a Brahmin because of pious activities, and someone who's taken birth as a dog because of sinful activities. He doesn't distinguish. But Srila Prabhupada said, I'm not on that platform. I make distinctions. And I see that someone is doing nonsense, he should stop it. Because when we preach, we have to make distinctions. Even an Uttama Bhagavat, if he wants to preach, he has to come to the platform of Madhyam Bhagavat and make distinctions and criticize. When I was in Madras, perhaps I was the first ISKCON devotee who went to Madras. So I was preaching, and the initial response was very good, but after some time, people started to complain about my preaching, because I was criticizing. I was saying that only Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and only devotional service is the way to attain Him. So people really started talking, that we are narrow-minded. We only accept Krishna as God. We only accept bhakti. So I wrote Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada wrote back that the fact is, he was speaking about himself, the fact is that I'm the only person in India who's criticizing not only impersonalism and demigod worship, but anything that falls short of complete surrender to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, we must declare it boldly that unless they surrender unto Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they can never have peace or happiness. And he said, my Guru Maharaj never compromised, and I shall never compromise, and similarly none of my disciples should ever compromise. So criticizing karmis, jnanis, and yogis, of course Srila Prabhupada said, we have to know how to criticize. That's another art. But criticizing karmis, jnanis, and yogis is not an offense, because a preacher has to criticize. Not on a personal level, but he has to criticize. So that's not an offense. And if someone thinks it is an offense, then we should avoid them. So I had one very vivid experience with Srila Prabhupada in Madras when he came, where he quoted one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita on the exact subject of avoiding the association of non-devotees. So this is Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service, text 87. Asat sanga tyaga evaishnav achar stri sangi eka asadu krishna bhakta har. A Vaishnav should always avoid the association of ordinary people. Common people are very much materially attached, especially to women. Vaishnavas should also avoid the company of those who are not devotees of Lord Krishna. Satyam socham dayamonam pudirhirshi yashakshama shamodamo bhagascheti yatsangad yati sanshayam teshvashanteshu mudeshu kshanditan mas pasadushu sangam na kurya chocheshu yoshit krida migeshu cha. na tatasya bhavenmoho mandaschanya prasangata yoshit sangat yata pungso yatatat sangi sangataha. By association with worldly people, one becomes devoid of truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, gravity, spiritual intelligence, shyness, austerity, fame, forgiveness, control of the mind, control of the senses, fortune, and all opportunities. One should not at any time associate with a coarse fool who is bereft of the knowledge of self-realization and who is no more than a toy animal in the hands of a woman. The illusion and bondage that accrue to a man from attachment to any other object are not as complete as that resulting from association with a woman or with men too attached to women. The words used here, sangi sangataha, by associating with persons who are associated with women. Elsewhere it is mentioned, Bhagavat sangi sangataha, that one should associate with persons who are associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And one should avoid association with persons who are associated with women for sense gratification. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, like it says that, you know, man should beware of woman. But it's mentioned, man should beware of woman, but Srila Prabhupada explains that it also means woman should beware of man. Only in the mood of sense gratification, otherwise there's no problem. Now, varam huta vahadvala panjarantar vyavastiti na sori chinta vimukha jana sambhasa vaisavam. It is better to accept the miseries of being encaged within bars and surrounded by burning flames and to associate with those bereft of Krishna consciousness. Such association is a very great hardship. This is a quotation from the Katyayana Samhita. So when Srila Prabhupada came to Madras, I suggested that maybe I should meet one man who seemed very helpful in the beginning. His name was Mr. Ratnamayer. And he had a religious organization called Astakam Samaj. And he was going to arrange Prabhupada's program in his hall, receive Srila Prabhupada at the airport, and do everything. But in the end, he wasn't really helpful. And he turned out to be a Mayavadi. But in the beginning, he seemed like he wanted to help. And I thought maybe if we met him again, especially since Srila Prabhupada had come, he could become favorable or helpful. And Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse. And there are one or two other verses similar, quoted in the Nectar of Devotion, that it's better to embrace a snake or an alligator than to associate with non-devotees or impersonalists or demigod worshippers. So even when we preach, we should distinguish between who's innocent and who's envious. And if someone is envious, we shouldn't try to preach to them. We should just leave them. So are there any questions or comments? Oh, one more thing. There's one more verse I forgot. Madrakshi kshina punyam kvachidapi bhagavad bhakti hinam manusayan. One should not even see those who are bereft of devotional service in Krishna consciousness and who are therefore devoid of pious activities. What did I just read? What shouldn't we do? We shouldn't even see the faces of non-devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada had one disciple named Shamsundar. So one time in Calcutta, Shamsundar was on the balcony, on the veranda, looking at Time magazine. And Srila Prabhupada came out of the room and saw him. And, you know, he just like looked at the magazine and he said, these people are such big demons that we shouldn't even see their faces. Look at the pictures of their faces. I thought Srila Prabhupada is using very strong language, and then I found the same thing in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't mean to be offensive to Richard Nixon or anyone. I'm only repeating. Yes.
Sometimes some people are coming as guests to the temple. Some of their things are something. They come home over a long period of time. They don't take up Krishna consciousness. How can we see the category of things?
He says that some people come to the Sunday program for years, but they never take up the practice of Krishna consciousness. They don't even become vegetarian. Well, maybe they are interested in the prasadam. Actually, Gurudas in London, when he was in London, he used to change the program every one or two Sundays. Like, one Sunday he'd have the kirtan and lecture first and then the feast. Then people would start to come late, just in time for the feast. So then the next Sunday he'd have the feast first. And the kirtan and the lecture afterwards. Anyway, they benefit by taking prasad. Oh, let's get a free meal. It's not really good. But still, they benefit because they take prasad. But the mentality is not good. It could be. We should preach to the more receptive ones first. Srila Prabhupada gave the example on the battlefield. Some of the soldiers are wounded so badly that they're probably going to die anyway. So it's better to try to save the ones who can be saved first, and then the lost. There's time you can go back to the ones that seem to be lost in any case.
So, as you were explaining, Niyamagraha means executing a sadhana bhakti without an extent of the purpose of supporting. Does it mean that if somebody is engaged in sadhana mechanically without understanding the purpose, he's trying to overcome?
Well, he may not know the science, but he should at least be in the mood that by whatever I'm doing, I should please Guru and Krishna. But Guru, because we don't know Krishna. So, without really knowing the science, if he thinks that, oh, if I get up and attend Mangal Arati, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. If I chant my rounds, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. If I distribute books, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. That is bhakti, because the aim is to please. He may not know scientifically that the aim is to develop bhava bhakti, but he knows that the aim is to please, and that is bhakti. But without the mood of pleasing, just doing it for the sake of doing it, because everyone else is doing it. Of course, that's also not bad in the beginning. But without the mood of pleasing, we can't, I don't know if we can really say that it's sadhana, bhakti. It's sadhana. I don't know if we can say it's sadhana bhakti. We can get it, you know, if we stay in the association of devotees, we can get the mood of bhakti. But why? Nobody does something for nothing. They're doing it for some reason. But they may do it. They may be doing it because they think they'll get material rewards, either on the earth or in heaven. And that is niyamagraha. That is niyamagraha. They don't want to engage in sinful activities because they know if they engage in sinful activities, they'll suffer. And outside the association of devotees, it's hard to engage in sinful activities, hard to avoid sinful activities outside the association of devotees. And they may think that devotional service is pious activity, and that by pious activity they will be rewarded with material opulence. So that is niyamagraha. They are following the rules and regulations for the sake of avoiding sinful punishment, or for the sake of getting pious rewards, not for the sake of pleasing Guru or Krishna. That is niyamagraha. And surely that will not sustain bhakti. It is not bhakti. It's not bhakti. In the next verse we'll read more clearly what is the definition of bhakti. But it's not bhakti. They may be doing the same activity that others do. But if the intention is only that I should be free from sinful activities so I can avoid sinful punishment, or I should do pious activities so I can get material rewards, that is not bhakti. Yes.
The devotee should always try to hear about spiritual matters and should always utilize his time to chanting the holy name of the Lord. His behavior should always be straightforward and simple. And although he is not envious but friendly to everyone, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. And that is my question, because I am interested, especially in last sentence, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. So, how to distinguish among the devotees?
Could you hear the verse that he read? A very good verse. Because we were first discussing how to recognize who is a devotee. A devotee should always try to hear about spiritual matters and should always utilize his time in chanting the holy name of the Lord. His behavior should always be straightforward and simple. And although he is not envious but friendly to everyone, he should avoid the company of persons who are not spiritually advanced. So that confirms everything that we've read. So not spiritually advanced means Sri Sangi Eka Sadhu Krishna Bhakta Arv. But he's further raised the question that even amongst devotees or people who are living with the devotees, not all may be spiritually advanced, as we just discussed. Someone might be doing the same things that we do, but they may not be in the mood of bhakti. So he's asking how we can distinguish. So we will come within a few days to Rupa Goswami's instructions about how to recognize different grades of devotees and how to deal with different grades of devotees in different ways. Yes.
Came to the temple, and then after we asked for an entrance, they stopped coming. Is it if we ask for an entrance fee, or is it better not?
Should we ask for an entrance fee? For to what? Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, it could vary from place to place. Generally, I mean, when Srila Prabhupada began the Sunday program, there was no entrance fee. And we used to ask for donations, voluntary contributions. So, I mean, that's the way Srila Prabhupada began it. Yes.
I do say about much attachment to this. If the person is like one Krishna, the person comes to Maharaj every day, only this thing can. If the person comes to Haradhikari, even if he's sick or whatever, so what do we call it? Him, Arjuna, or whatever?
Well, Srila Prabhupada gave high importance to Mangalarti. After chanting 16 rounds practically, he gave most importance to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and to attending Mangalarti. So if one is sick, and he still makes the effort to come to Mangalarti, it's good. I mean, generally, I would say it's good. Well, you know, if you know, the basic principle of regulative devotional service is to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Now, if he's really sick and he goes to the temple and the whole time he's just thinking about the body, then it might be better if he took some rest and recovered and then thought of Krishna. It could be. I remember once I was in the habit of doing Nirjal Ekadasi. And I was in Pakistan, in Karachi, and it was so hot. And we were doing a lot of preaching because the Ekadasi happened to fall on Friday, which is like the day, like Sunday for the Muslims. And by night time, and they also stay up late there, it's their habit, they just stay up late and sleep late. It's like I was struggling, you know, I wasn't really able to think of Krishna, I wasn't really able to think of the people who were coming, just thinking, you know, that I have to maintain the fast. And later I thought probably if I'd at least taken water and thought of Krishna and preached nicely to the people, it would have been better. So that should be the basic principle, to always remember Krishna, never forget him. And if by doing some austerity we become more absorbed in the body, then what's the use? Sorry? Oh, he's asking how did Rupa Goswami select the six items? Well, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami has listed 64 items of devotional service. He's also explained various items which are not included in devotional service. And he's given reference from the scriptures for all of them. And even the items that we're discussing will appear in one way or another in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And there you'll find the references from the scriptures. But here Upadeshamrita is only 11 verses. It's like the essence of the nectar of devotion. So he hasn't given the references here. Sometimes the same idea is expressed in different words. So like, say for example, prajalpa. We may not find the word prajalpa in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but we will find Vaishnava Parad. So, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving evidence, like we read so many verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, not to eat opulent food, not to run here and there trying to gratify the senses, so on. But if you, like, have a question about a specific item, that you have a doubt, what is the evidence from the scripture, you could ask, and we could try to help you understand it. Okay, so time for arti. It's also one of the regulated principles. And we will meet now on Friday. Hare Krishna.